Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. You are well aware of the nature of the grace our Lord Jesus Christ has demonstrated. In heaven he was rich beyond measure, yet for your sakes he came to share the poverty of our humanity, so that now through that poverty you are able to share in his heavenly riches.
Amen.
And we'll take another verse with that in a few moments. How do you get to be 70? Well, you keep breathing every day. And eventually it arrives. But this for me has been years and years of the grace of God. I was talking with the second year students yesterday about predestination. When I look at my life, I definitely believe in predestination. Because only God could have planned, organized, done what he's done in my life during those years. I could never have planned it, dreamed it, or even actually desired it. It really has been from beginning to end the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this, of course, is how he wants all of us to live, not only now, but continually in the future, dependent upon his grace. Now, we know that his grace is what he gives. And he gives of himself to those who don't deserve him. That we can never deserve grace. It's not a reward. It's not something we've earned. It's what God gives. And the wonderful thing about God's grace, this is so simple you might never have thought of it, that he can only give what he gives by his grace if he's decided to give it. So every time you are aware of the grace of God operating in your life, it's because God decided, before you received whatever he gave you by grace, God decided to give it to you. That you cannot force God to give by grace anything that he hasn't chosen to give. Or anything even that he hasn't planned to give. So grace throws you right back upon this truth that God really is in charge. Yes. And what he pours into our lives by his grace is part of what he has planned for us. He knows that we can only fulfill his plan and purpose for our lives by grace, by receiving from him what he has desired to give us. So even before the creation of the world, when he called us and chose us, he actually planned what he would give us by grace. Now, yes, we appropriate that by faith. Faith really is essentially faith in God's grace. Because every answered prayer is a work of his grace. Everything he does in our lives by his Spirit is a work of his grace. Every way in which he uses us is a work of his grace. Every aspect of anointing upon our lives is a work of his grace. And therefore, because it's all gifted to him as a result of what he's chosen to do, all the glory, the honor, and the praise are rightfully his. And we can look back, I can look back on, I know about a long life, there's quite a bit to go yet, but but many years of ministry, and just be thankful for what God chose to do. You see, I know a man who was taken into the heavens to see the glory of God, and his face shone so greatly that others couldn't look at him. I know a man who saw not just a burning bush, but a whole copse of trees alight with the glory and the presence of God. And the presence of God came upon him. I could speak of many things, of many personal things that God has done for this man. Things that can only be the grace of God. And to know that behind whatever he does is the purpose of God. That he is not simply doing things for the sake of doing them, not even just doing them out of love, but always out of purpose. That whatever he does has a purpose beyond the event itself. And the more you know God, the more you actually become driven by his purpose. Led by his spirit, but driven by his purpose. So that you don't want to stand still. You don't want to vegetate spiritually. Because the more you get to know God, the more you realize there is to know of him. And I believe that the reason why we will be with God in his glory for all eternity is it's going to take all eternity to know him. That, you know, one of the great promises is that we shall know even as we are known. Well, God knows everything about us. I want to know everything about God because he is so wonderful, and I appreciate that whatever we know and whatever we experience of him now, no matter how great those experiences, they're all the work of his grace, but there is nothing compared to what is yet to be revealed. And that's a great motivation. Every time we worship, every time we pray, every time we wait upon God, that there's more and more and more that he wants to reveal. And yes, there are those moments, those sort of climactic moments where God takes us completely by surprise in the magnificence of what he chooses to do. But you always know it has purpose. And actually, the thing that grabs you most is not so much those great experiences, but what you see God do as a result. Because ultimately, you see, however God uses any of us is down to the anointing that he chooses to place upon our lives. And the anointing is God. The anointing isn't you. The anointing is God. The anointing is how God can use you, not so much because of you, but even despite you. It's God working through those who in and of themselves are weak and in and of themselves would be totally ineffective. And we all carry an anointing from God. But you know, what we have to do in our relationship with God is to see that anointing develop. And to be in the place with God where we can use the anointing he places on us to the maximum. That, if you like, is our part of the relationship. And to use the anointing to the maximum is going to require faith, is going to require being prepared to step out when it doesn't seem safe to do so. It means that you're prepared to go where you wouldn't choose to go and to let God use you in ways that you think are totally impossible. And what you find is the grace of God releases the anointing of God into the situation. And you are amazed at the results. I could speak for a long time this morning about the wonderful times of ministry that I've seen. But you see, it's not so much my ministry, it's what God has done by the power of His Spirit. The simply amazing things. Not just the way He has blessed individuals, but the way I've seen Him moving in meetings, the way I've seen the Spirit of God come upon thousands of people in a single moment. All kinds of amazing, amazing, amazing things that just show you how amazing God is, but how wonderful the anointing is. That you see, the anointing coupled with God's grace can just lead to the most extraordinary outcomes. But it's all God. Because the anointing is the anointing of God upon you. The grace is what God has chosen to do and to give through the anointing at any given moment. And it's all the fact that He's teaching us of the riches that are ours because He came to share the poverty of our humanity. And He really did come to make it possible for believers to do the same things as He has done and greater things still. It's simply allowing your life to be used. Not so much to be blessed, but to be used. The blessing comes in the using or the being used. Far more than looking for any personal blessing for yourself. You see, the more God can use us, the more fruit we bear, the more He is glorified. And it's that wanting to be used, that willingness to be used, letting God do whatever He needs to do in us so we can be used in the ways that He wants to use us. Ways that continually increase, that we're never in one sense satisfied with what we see Him doing with us now, because we know there can always be so much more than we can see now or have seen in the past. But God wants to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. That's the point. That you have the power. And it's certainly true in my life that He's done far more than I could ever have imagined or thought. And it's all the grace of God, it's all the plan of God, actually it's all the predestined purpose of God. Yes, I've had to walk with the Lord, respond to the Lord. It's that free will that is the sort of corollary, really, of the grace. Grace is God's part, and us freely giving of ourselves to Him is our part. But it becomes a way of life. That's the important thing, that we don't wait for particular moments when we need to give ourselves to God, but we are a given people, that just as He has given Himself to us, And yes, there may be particular moments in which we receive something fresh from God, but it's all because He has already chosen to give all that He is and all that He has to us. So we are a given people. We have made the decision to give all that we are, all that we have, indefinitely for the rest of our lives. That we haven't loaned our lives to Him for a period of time because we're students at Rafi or whatever else, or on the team at a Kingdom Faith. But our whole lives are a givenness to God so that He can use us in the ways that He wants. And you see, this is the whole point, that God can only use you in as much as you give yourself to Him. And because He knows us, and because He knows and discerns the nature of our hearts, He knows how given we are. He knows what He can do with us. And of course, in the foreknowledge of God, because He knows the end from the beginning, even all that was planned. You know, I think of Saul of Tarsus, brought up as an Anglican. By which I mean brought up in formal religion, like I was. But it's amazing where God can get to. You see, and only God would think of turning the arch persecutor of the church into the great apostle to the Gentiles. Nobody else would even have thought of it. I always imagine, you know, a prayer meeting. Once the disciples had really got the message in Jerusalem that they were supposed to reach the Gentiles after Peter had the Cornelius experience, I would imagine them having a prayer meeting and saying, "Lord, who should we send to the Gentiles?" And you know, God says to them, "Saul of Tarsus." Yeah. And they would say, "I rebuke that thought. I stand against that.
That's it, exactly.
That's the enemy. That's right. Satan trying to intervene." Yeah. Because nobody would have thought of it except God. And here's Paul saying, that was God's plan for my life before the creation of the world, before I was born. He knew what He was going to do with me. And when you think of that, and you think of God sort of watching Saul of Tarsus persecuting the church, imprisoning believers, consenting to their death, if not being responsible for their death. And yet, He knows there's going to come that moment when He's going to turn everything around. And then He sees this man reaching thousands and thousands of Gentiles with the gospel. There's a lot we don't understand about God, because, I mean, you know, God just watched all that stuff happening. And He didn't get worried about it, He didn't get concerned, because He just knew, just wait till He goes to Damascus.
Right. Very good.
And you see, He can see us getting confused, messed up, don't know where to go, what, bum, bum. We can be in all kinds of mishmash sometimes. And God isn't fazed by it, because He knows what He has planned. And He knows that He'll bring us through whatever it is we have to work through to that point where He can then release us into what He has planned for us. And the great thing is, you see, nobody could prevent Jesus from fulfilling the ministry that God sent Him to do. They tried to kill Him, they tried to oppose Him, do all kinds of things, but they couldn't. They could not hinder God's purpose in Jesus. They could not hinder God's purpose in Paul. I mean, the persecutor became the persecuted within days of his conversion. And they wanted to kill him, and at one point they stoned him and left him for dead. But nobody could prevent the purpose that God had for him. The only person that can really hinder the purpose of God in your life is you. But even then, God in his foreknowledge, God in his patience, God in his wisdom helps you to work through whatever you need to work through so that you get back on course, or so that you get released into the next stage of his plan and purpose for you. It just teaches you, you see, that God is in charge. He really is in control. And he never loses control of you. He never loses control of the situation. Even if you get off into something that isn't God's best plan and purpose for your life, he doesn't get fazed. He knows he will bring you back on course. He knows you will fulfill what he called you before the creation of the world to fulfill. And probably it's just as well when you're young and learning all about spiritual things that you don't know how God is going to use you. Because you see, if he told you too much about the future, you'd probably try to make it happen, and it wouldn't happen because you can't make it happen. It's only he who can make it happen in his way at his time. And this is the exciting thing for me about the Christian life, is it's a continual unfolding of God's purposes. Every day is exciting. Every morning when you come to meet with God in your prayer time is exciting because you don't know what he's going to say that morning. But he will speak to you every single day. He's spoken to me every single morning, every single day, for as long as I can remember. He will never, never, never be silent if you spend time waiting upon him.
Very good.
Through his word, by his spirit, is always speaking. I don't know how many spiritual journals I have filled over the years. Hundreds, literally, full of what God has said. Because he's not a God who will keep silent. And that's the wonderful thing. That if you know God will speak to you every day, then you know you're not alone in what you're doing every day. That actually, he is in charge of that day. And that doesn't mean that everything that happens to you that day is even what is what you want or even what God wants. Because he warns you sometimes of things that are going to happen that are not his will, because there are other people that are not in line with his will that are going to come against you. So in his foreknowledge, he knows that's going to happen, so he prepares you for it. I mean, when Paul was converted, Saul was converted, God told him something of the ministry that he was going to have, told Ananias also, and Ananias was sent to pray for him. But what God made clear right from the beginning was that he was going to have to suffer for the sake of the kingdom. God didn't hide it from him. God said, this is going to be costly. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to have to suffer all kinds of things. But you see, in the giving of our lives to God, he does not give us a job description for our approval. Which is probably just as well. I mean, he walks along the seashore and he says to these fishermen, come follow me. But he doesn't tell Peter that one day he'll be crucified. I mean, Peter will be crucified, not just Jesus, or by tradition that's how he died. He didn't tell him all that he would have to suffer for the sake of the kingdom. He just gave him this great promise, you will catch men for the kingdom of God. So what does it matter? You see, this is the whole thing about serving God, that you don't focus on the cost. You focus on the glory that comes to God through faithfully serving Him. And that's all that matters. So just turn now. We've looked at 2 Corinthians 8, 9. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 9, 8. Because these two verses always go together. It's easy to remember those references. He is able to cause all His grace to overflow in your lives, so that in all things at all times you will have all you need and much more besides, so that you will overflow in the way you bless others. Now, you've got the NIV version of that before your eyes every time you come in this room. And actually, when we first opened this place in 89, it sort of looked very bare, and we didn't want to, you know, put all kinds of banners and stuff like that up. So we thought we'd do something tasteful that fitted in, but just had these wooden texts. And our first instinct was to change the text every now and again. So we thought, well, we'll put that one up, and then after a while we'll change it. So. But it's stuck for 21 years. Because it is really so appropriate in a training college. God is able to make all grace abound to you. Now, all grace is everything He has. Abounding is giving to you in abundance, far more than you actually need. There's always an excess in abundance. So He is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, in everything you do, that grace is abounding. At all times. Not just when you're having a good day. Not when you're just feeling up to it. But at all times, that grace is abounding. So that in all things, you will abound.
Come on.
In every good work. Why? Because of the abundant grace leads to abundant good works. But you see, they're all the work of His grace. And really, this morning, that's my testimony. God has made all grace abound to me. So in all things, at all times, having all that I need abundantly, He has enabled by that grace for me to abound in good works, in the sense that He has blessed and touched the lives of so many people.
Yes.
And this is the thing I want you to get hold of this morning. You see, God has His sovereign purpose for you. But what does He see that to be? I mean, what does it look like? What does His purpose for you look like? When God sort of looks upon your life and the purpose He has, what does that really look like? I don't think it looks like him blessing you? I think you see, what it looks like to God is everybody else that's going to get blessed through you.
Very good.
That's what it looks like to him. That, yeah, I'm going to bless this one because he's going to be channels of boom, 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 boom. So he calls Peter, you see, I'm going to make you fishers of men. What God sees is all the men he's going to fish. All the lives that are going to be impacted. He sees Paul imprisoning Christians, and he's not fazed because he knows he's going to win many more for the kingdom than he's persecuting. And when he appears to him on the road to Damascus, he doesn't just see Saul of Tarsus who needs to become a new creation. He sees all the people in all the churches that he is going to minister to as an apostle. He sees them all getting blessed by him. Because, you know, God, being eternal, living in eternity, he sees what was, what is, and what is to come. He can see it all at the same time. So he can't see you in isolation from the channel you're going to be into all those lives that you're going to touch in the years ahead. And he's going to know that's the outworking of his grace. That's the abundance working through you. And he knows also that what is going to impact you is not any sense of pride at all that that's what he's doing, but of amazement that he can do it through you. Stunned amazement. And what you realize is that right from the very beginning, when he first touched your life, he had all those people in mind. So I'm calling him or her so that all those people are going to get blessed. All those lives are going to get touched. All those people are going to come into the kingdom. All those people are going to get healed. All those people are going to have a sovereign encounter with God as a result of me touching that one person. I mean, this is how God thinks. He doesn't think, oh, I love you, child. Nice little child that you are. I want you to be born again. I want you to have a new life. I want you to enjoy fellowship with me for the rest of your life. God doesn't think like that. That's not his idea of love, because his idea of love is to give and give and give and give. So when he looks upon your life, he sees the way you will give, or rather the way he will give to others through you. That's why Jesus says, well, if you love me, you'll obey me. You'll go wherever he sends you to touch the lives of those he's planned. You'll speak whatever he gives you to speak. You'll do whatever he asks you to do so that those lives that he planned for you to touch when he first called you are going to get touched, and his plan is going to be outworked, and his will is going to be fulfilled.
Very, very good.
Hallelujah. And you can look at yourself and you think, Lord, how can this be? I'm just little me. And he says, I specialize in little me's. I do not call the proud. See, the first thing that he had to do with Saul of Tarsus was to humble him. Because he'd been so proud. Self-righteous. So God reckoned that the quickest way to humble him was to blind him for 3 days. It seemed to work. We don't anticipate that God will have to make such drastic measures with us to get our attention. But it sure got Saul's attention. 3 days of praying, fasting, repentance, bringing his life into God's order. Why? So that he could just become a new creation? No, so that all those people would be touched by the life and the power of God. You see, you're a spiritual time bomb waiting to go off.
Amen. Absolutely.
But actually, you're not really like a time bomb, because a bomb can only explode once. You can keep exploding all over the place. And every time you explode, a whole lot of people can get touched by the life and the power of God. You're more like a perpetual hand grenade. God tosses into a situation, boom, and there's repercussions in the lives of many people. Then he takes that grenade and throws it somewhere else. Boom. It's a good, peaceful analogy.
Yeah, that's good.
But you see, God doesn't let us see beyond him in the present. You get a sense sometimes of how God is going to use you or some way in which he wants to work through you, but he's very much the God of today. Which is why Jesus says, take no thought for tomorrow. Because if you don't let me work in you today, in the way that I want to work today, then tomorrow isn't going to be what I want tomorrow to be. You know, some of you who come here for a couple of years to college, you might at times think to yourself, oh, I want to get out there and get started and do something. Well, I had to go to college for 4 years, which is twice as long. And I felt like that many times. Let's get out of this academic kind of environment and get on with the business. But God plans when and where and how he's going to use you. And usually it takes you by surprise. Caroline and I said, Lord, we don't mind where we serve you so long as it's not Luton. Where did we end up? Luton. What did God do in Luton? Revival. The touch nations. Why? Because his plans are better than our plans. Or let me put it this way, his plans are much better than our preferences. So it's not worth telling God what to do with you. He says, well, hang on a minute, I'm the Lord, not you, so I'll tell you what I'm going to do with you. You're not going to tell me what to do with you. So it's kind of good that way around, because that means life is full of surprises. But they're nice surprises, because, you see, it's God using you in ways that you've never dreamt you could be used. Doing things you never thought you were able to do, because actually it's God in you, it's not you. And this is just so exciting. I mean, this is what it's all about. I mean, you, listen, you're going to go to heaven for all eternity, aren't you?
Yes.
Now, do you want to be bored for all eternity? I mean, I don't think God would do that to you, would he? So heaven must be exciting. Why is it exciting? Because it's full of God. Why is your life exciting? You're full of God. Why is the future going to be exciting? Because it's going to be full of God. It's going to be full of the grace of God. And yes, you might have some amazing encounters with God, but he'll never give you those just so that you can score them up. There's always a so that.
Yes.
You need to meet with me in that way so that all those people will be reached as a result of what I've just done in you afresh. See, it's not just that we have an encounter at the beginning and then God says, well, let's see what we can do with that. He just keeps increasing the anointing, increasing the flow, increasing the fruitfulness. He prunes us that we will be more fruitful still. It's more and more and more and more fruit.
Very good. Very good.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is a faith message.
Yes, it is.
So you're supposed to be smiling by now. I mean, it's wonderful. It's wonderful to be used by God, you see. And the great thing is, when you get to 70, and even if you're only 20 now, the day will come, unless Jesus comes again, but don't count on that. You know, so you say, well, I'll never get to 70 because Jesus will come again. Because lots of people have made that mistake.
Right.
He will come when God has chosen for him to come, according to his plan. Amen?
Yes.
But you'll be able to look back and say, wow.
Come on.
When I sat there in Rafi just listening to all that stuff I had to listen to, I had no idea of what he would do with me. Wow. What abundant grace.
Amen.
And you will be able to look back on certain strategic moments where you encountered God or God encountered you and he did something new and fresh in you. Sometimes things that are so precious and so holy, you can't tell anyone else.
Right.
But things that have made you the person that you become, able to reach more and more and more people.
Right.
See, the important thing in the Christian life is never to be content with the fruitfulness you do have. Because God's purpose is always greater fruitfulness still. More and more people whose lives are touched.
Come on. Very good.
So much so that we're even touching lives without realizing we're touching them. Because of the way that God can use us. You know, in this room, just think for the next 20 years. How many lives can be touched, transformed, healed, delivered as a result of a couple of hundred people that are here this morning?
Come on.
It could be in the millions.
That's it. That's it.
I mean, there are millions of my books in circulation. Millions. It's reckoned that on average, every book that is sold is read by at least 3 people. How many millions of people have been touched by those books? I don't know. It's none of my business. As soon as I've finished writing a book, I've finished with it. It's in God's hands to use as he wills. But you see, if you'd said to me when I was asked to write my first book by the publishers, your books are going to be in the millions and will therefore be read by millions of people, will have some impact on their lives, I'd have looked at you as if you'd zoomed in from Mars. What on earth are you talking about? Because you see, you can't see what he's going to do with you. And when I think back to those days in Luton, the only thing in that church that we were concerned about, we weren't concerned about impacting the nation or impacting the nations, never even occurred to us. All we were concerned about was day by day doing what the Holy Spirit was asking us to do. That's all. And if you seek to live in submission to God, in obedience to Him, to His Spirit, His Word, you don't have to worry about the outcome. God will ensure that whatever He's doing among you will have an impact where He wants it to have an impact. And you will realize, as I have realized, it really hasn't got anything to do with me. I can remember a wonderful man of God who I used to minister alongside at international conferences. He's gone to be with the Lord now. But he always described himself as the Lord's donkey. He said, "I'm just the Lord's donkey. He can even speak through a donkey, but a donkey can also carry the presence of God wherever God takes him. So I'm just the donkey. The donkey doesn't matter. It's the one who's riding the donkey. It's the one who speaks through the donkey. He's the one that matters." And you see, the last thing I want to say this morning is simply this. Whatever God does with your life will be the outworking of His Word.
That's it.
And He raises up the humble, not those who want to be raised up. Usually those who want to be raised up are the wrong kind of people to raise up. God knows that. That's why He specializes in the nobodies. He specializes in the humble. And if people are proud, He wants to use them. He knows He's got to humble them first, because God cannot manifest Himself through pride. And if those who are humble get proud, He pulls them down until they get humble again. Then He lifts them up again. Hello? So all you've got to do is just, as the scripture says, have a sober estimate of yourself. Be thankful for God that He blesses you with all His abundant grace. Thank God that He's called you to be as part of His plan and purpose. He did that even before the creation of the world. Thank God that He has chosen to save you, that Jesus became poor for you so that you might become rich. Praise God that He can make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And just remember always to give the glory to Him and never to take it for yourself. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all stand. I want you to lift your hands in the Lord. This morning, I want you to make an act of faith. I want you to lift your hands and lift your heart and begin to praise God for all the lives that are going to be touched through you in the coming years. You can't see all those people. You don't know who they are or where they're going to be, but God already sees. And just be thankful that this is His plan for your life. Hallelujah. That you are going to touch many others. Or He is going to touch them through you. Hallelujah. His life flowing through. Thank Him that you're a channel of His grace, of His life, of His love, of His power, of His healing, of His goodness into the lives of so many people. And just give yourself afresh to Him now. Say, "Lord, I just give myself wholeheartedly. I yield myself to You, Lord. I lift up Your name and Your word above my life.
I place my life under who you are, under your word, under the anointing of your spirit, so that which you have planned and purposed shall surely come to pass. Because I realize, Lord, all those lives are only going to be touched because I have chosen to yield myself to you and to your plans and your purposes. That you're not going to force me, you're going to lead me. Hallelujah. You're going to lead me day by day, and I'm going to be driven by that desire to fulfill the plans and purposes that you have for my life. Oh, I give you glory, Lord. I give you honor. I give you praise. Hallelujah. Sorata parazata bakarazito ba. Baparazata parazito disato ba. Oh, hallelujah. Now, can you tell the Lord, Lord, I'm not holding back anything. I'm not holding back anything. Everything in my life, all that I am, all that I have is yours. Everything is available. When you called me, when you chose me, Lord, it was that I would belong to you, that I would be your child, that I would be your possession, that you would literally possess me as your own. So, Lord, I'm happy to belong to you. I'm happy to be yours. Hallelujah. Sala la bazataria lera bakarasita ba. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Now, there's a verse of scripture where God says, I know the plans I have for you. Now, just thank him that he knows the plans he has for you. Those plans are already laid. God's not going to change them. He's not going to alter them. He has already made those plans. Hallelujah. The scripture says he has chosen your portion and your lot. He's got it all planned. Come on. But it says he's prepared good things for you to walk in. So thank him that his plans for you are good. That the lot has fallen unto you in a fair place. Hallelujah. In a spacious place. Praise you, Jesus. Come on, you've got to take all this scripture personally if you're going to see the purpose of God in your life. Now thank the Lord that by his grace you're going to live according to his plans, not yours. Hallelujah. Oh, you don't sound so excited about that, but that's where the excitement is. The excitement is in his plans, not yours. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Purata parazata parazitorizatuba. Now, thank the Lord. Whatever encounters you've had, whatever, you know, moments, great moments you've had with God, thank him that they weren't for you alone, but so that you would be a greater channel of God's grace to others. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Bora la bazata barasita di satuba. Bora la bazata bakarasita ba. Thank him that you're like that tree he was talking to us about a couple of weeks ago. That tree by the water. That you've got your roots in the living water. That the leaves will never go brown. They will never go dry. Thank him that the fruit is going to be there every season. Oh, hallelujah.
And the fruit isn't for you. You're the tree. The fruit is for all those that God is going to bless through that tree. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Paparazata bakarazita ba. Balalala bazatu bakarazita ba. Now, thank him that he is your father, that he loves you as his child, and in that love, he's taking out of your life everything that will hinder his purposes. It's called in Scripture, God disciplining those he loves. He's just taking out all the stuff that won't do you any good, won't do anybody else any good, and won't do God any good. Hallelujah. But he's constantly pouring in what is good for you and what will be good for others through you. And what is good for the glory of his name. Hallelujah. Taking out the nonsense and the rubbish and pouring in all that is good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. What a mighty God you are. What a wonderful Lord. What a wonderful Savior. Pura la basata parasita di sato bakarasita ba. Pura la basata rielera bakarasita ba. Come on, Jesus. Bopakarazatu bakarasita di sandaba. Oh, let's have the band for. We're going to sing, I'm in awe of all you are. Jesus, you are wonderful. Amen. Your love is so amazing. Because, you see, how does he express his love in your life? Not through giving you a spiritual cuddle, but by his grace. That grace is his love in action, in you and through you. Come on, just thank him for love in action. Love in action. Love that bears fruit. Love that touches the lives of other people. The love that blesses them. Purata parazata parazito ba. Oh, thank you, Lord. He called you and chose you by his grace. He has chosen to give you the kingdom by his grace. He has given you a new life by his grace. He has put his spirit within you by his grace. He has placed you in Christ Jesus by his grace. He has already used you by his grace. Hallelujah. He has healed you by his grace. He has set you free by his grace. Oh, wonderful grace. The throne of grace. Where you will find mercy and grace to help you in your time of need. Now just thank the Lord for grace for today. That you have his grace for today. He has chosen to give you grace for today. Everything you need, everything you want, everything you desire for today. It's yours by His grace. Some of you have been trying to get healed or trying to get an answer from God, and this morning you just realize, well, wait a minute, it's just a gift of His grace. And today is the day of His grace. If today is the day of salvation, today is the day of healing, today is the day of grace. Salvation is healing. Hallelujah. Total healing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Holy One. Yes. Oh Lord, we thank you so much that knowing your truth sets us free. We don't have to strive or struggle or strain. We don't have to worry about the future. We don't have to wonder how you're going to use us. We thank you, Lord. All we have to do is just make ourselves available to you, and you will do the rest. Thank you that here in the grace of God we stand. Hallelujah. And thank you that you make all grace abound to us, so that in all things, at all times, having all that we need, we will abound in every good work. Praise your name. Come on, let's give him a great shout. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.